Therapy can help, but sometimes it isn't the whole answer. Talkiatry gives you access to real psychiatric care with licensed clinicians who can diagnose and prescribe medication if it's right for you. It's a simple way to get effective treatment right from home. Talkiatry is a 100% online psychiatric practice. Unlike therapy apps, Talkiatry is psychiatry, and they provide comprehensive evaluations, diagnosis, and ongoing medication management for conditions like ADHD, anxiety, and more. All of their 600-plus clinicians are in-network with major insurers, so you can use your existing insurance instead of paying monthly subscriptions or out-of-network fees. You'll meet with an experienced, licensed psychiatrist who takes the time to understand what's going on, builds a personalized treatment plan, and can prescribe medication when it's right for you. Your care stays consistent and evidence-based. Getting started with Talkiatry takes just a few minutes. Complete a short online assessment, get matched with clinicians who fit your needs, and schedule your first visit in days, not months. Head to talkiatry.com/homemakerchic and complete the short assessment to get matched with an in-network psychiatrist in just a few minutes. That's talkiatry.com/homemakerchic to get matched in minutes. I don't know about you, but I've made resolutions at the beginning of the new year concerning my health that I haven't been able to keep because I didn't understand what was physically happening to my body and what my body really needed. I didn't know that low iron can affect your energy, focus, mood, and even your physical performance. Over 1 in 3 people worldwide suffer from low iron, but most don't even know it. The symptoms don't always look dramatic. They show up quietly through patterns that you might brush off, like persistent fatigue or frequent headaches. That's why I recommend Citerol from Pharmanutra. It's a premium iron supplement powered by patented sucrosomial technology designed to help your body restore healthy iron levels by absorbing 3 to 4 times more iron without the common side effects of traditional iron supplements. It's also diet friendly, which I love, which means I can take it before meals, after meals, or without food altogether. Head to pharmanutra-us.com and use the code HOMEMAKERCHIC for 10% off your first order of Citerol. That's pharmanutra-us.com, promo code HOMEMAKERCHIC.
Welcome to Homemaker Chic, where we are rescuing the art of homemaking from the daily grind with red lips and no jumpers.
Shay, I have to confess, I'm wearing my big violet lips today, and I did post something really funny on our Instagram feed, which was a troop of denim jumper wearing moms.
I saw that.
Contrasted with like Diana. Yes. Wonder Woman.
I didn't see who it was. I thought it was maybe Legatha.
No, it was actually, it was Diana. It was Wonder Woman.
Okay.
And so it was kind of like comparing last year's version of the homeschool mom with this year's version of the homeschool mom. And so
we've been
apparently to everyone else, we're killing it.
Maybe. I don't know. Is that true?
Weirdos no more. I don't know. Today's show is brought to you by American Blossom Linens. I have to confess, I'm still putting my sheets out. Our weather just turned like this total left turn. Like, summer is over. Hey, Door County, summer is over. It is now 53 degrees and cool. Everybody's complaining and we have a fire going in the fireplace.
Wow.
All day long during homeschool. I know, it's just like completely left turn. And so I am scrounging up my last few weeks of putting my sheets on the clothesline. Mm-hmm. And so I did just put them on the clothesline and I starched them and they are fabulous. I'm wondering, you know, they say they get softer with every washing. So I'm wondering how many washings I'm on because mine are, they're exquisite. Mm-hmm. Now they completely match the texture of my vintage linens. So if you are looking for something that brings that vintage vibe, but with the modern endurance to your bed, then you should invest in a set of sheets from American Blossom Linens because they are your modern vintage sheets. These are sheets that are cotton that is grown in Texas. It is a female company. So you have women that are gathering the cotton and they are using a special process where they're pulling out all the impurities from the sheets. And these sheets are, they're a lifetime investment. No more going to Kohl's every 18 months and waiting for like the J-Lo sheets to be on sale. right?
Does she have sheets? I didn't know that.
She does.
Of course,
like,
she does.
That's what I used to do. I used to like wait for the really nice ones, quote unquote, nice ones to be on sale at Kohl's. And I hate Kohl's because I can't stand standing in the lines. And so you should shop American Vintage, AmericanBlossomLinens.com.
Yes.
And use the code. Oh my gosh, Shay, I'm blanking.
Homemaker Chic 20. That is, okay. You guys may notice that Angela's talking a little bit like this.
Stop it. I didn't want them to notice, but thank you for pointing that out.
They notice. You
should notice. Oh, Shay, your voice is so smooth. And hey, Angela's from the Midwest, isn't she? With allergies.
Angela's body does this crazy thing every fall where certain times of day, usually starting about now through morning.
Right about now.
Right about now until morning time. And it just sends her into an allergy fit. I think it's some kind of weird mold spore. Something. So if you're a mold expert. Dude,
and only
pray tell.
If you're a mold expert, because I'm a little burned out on advice.
Yes, that's true. That's true. lots of questions coming in too about that wonderful salt company that we introduced you guys to a couple weeks ago here on the podcast. It is, I'm going to consider them my neighbors because they're right on the coast of Washington, San Juan Island sea salt. And I realize not everybody's from Washington. So I'm going to spell that for you. S-A-N, new word.
Do it.
J-U-A-N, San Juan Island sea salt. And Brady was so kind to extend a coupon to our Homemaker Chic listeners. So go visit sanjuanislandseasalts.com. Tell Brady we sent you over by using the coupon code Homemaker for 10% off of your salt purchases. And if you like it hot, Angela likes things really spicy. There is.
I need to purge the sinuses.
Yes.
Like, give it to me.
There is a spicy Thai blend that Brady makes that will blow your face off. And it's so good. But those Thai chilies, whoo. It's makes me like, it makes my lips sweat just thinking
She's
about
patting
it.
Her forehead while she talks
it's
about
very,
it. I'm wiping my nose
hot.
And Shay is patting her forehead. So some like it hot.
Oh, some like it hot. Yes. We love them. Okay. I don't know what kind of mood you're in, but I'm going to cue ahead this Y music here. We're just going to go.
Please cue it.
We're going to go for it.
I need to blow off some steam.
Do you need to go blow your nose before we do this?
Exactly. Hit the cough button while I blow my nose.
How chic. Well, this part is of the podcast is brought to you by the one and only Dry Farm Wines, a fabulous online wine company that will ship you beautiful, biodynamic, organic wines from all over the world. You get to choose how many you want delivered, 3, 6, 9, 12, or more, if you're me. These are some beautiful wines that are all naturally fermented. And actually, you know, we've talked about this, but how often, you know, we've talked about the kind of gross wine culture that can surround women a little bit, you know, kind of lush,
just the
sort of boxed wine vibe.
Yeah. Wino Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Chardonnay belly.
It's not what we're talking about here.
No.
Well, I was just looking at the back of this bottle. Sorry, that's my dryer going off because I'm actually drying my American Blossom linen sheets right now. Clean sheet day.
Get me out. Make your bed.
Exactly. This, they test it for residual sugar, like what's left in the wine after the fermentation process. This has 0.3 grams of sugar left per liter of wine. That is
you need to like just like say it again, Shay.
0.3 grams of sugar per liter is what this wine is left with. And a big part of that is...
Okay, so you need to picture like a 2 liter of Coke.
Yes.
And the little tiny microscopic gram thing from high school that was like the size of your pinky. Mm-mm.
I don't even think it's that big, is it? I would guess it's
probably... No, that's how big the gram was had like the weighted measurements.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's different for liquid, but you know
and
what I mean.
And it's 0.3. There's 0.3, so...
Point none,
essentially, yes. Which makes your body so happy when you drink this. So go on over to dryfarmwines.com/homemakerchic and check out these wines because you get a free bottle with your first purchase just for being a Homemaker Chic listener. And I am drinking one that's so good right now. I'm actually drinking it.
What, Shay? First of all, let me just tell you, I went over to somebody's house the other night and I did not do the thing where you like bring your own bottle. Shay's going out of town next week and she has literally shipped bottles of wine ahead of her.
I am. It's coming to you, Virginia. It's coming to your house. Bring it with you, please.
Okay.
Meet me at the beach.
I didn't bring any with me. And I have to tell you, I mean, not to sound like a princess, but this is all I'm used to drinking is Dry Farm now. And the next day, it was no bueno.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is after like two glasses of wine. It was not good at all. So
I think your body does really get used to it. I think it, I don't know.
It does. I think it gets used to it like it gets used to sourdough or something like that. It does really get used to it.
Yeah. That's
and then you true. Go like to a restaurant and just eat like enriched bromelated white flour and you're like, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you sipping?
Okay.
Mrs. Elliott.
I am sipping a Twain. Nailed it.
Oh, boy. Oh, I had that this weekend.
It's so good.
Twain.
Sauvignon. It doesn't say Sauvignon Blanc, just a Sauvignon. 100% Sauvignon.
It's very good.
So it's not a blend.
I had that last weekend. Yeah.
It is. It's tart and crisp, but there's like this folly pear feel to it, but not in a sugary way, just like in a Granny Smith. But like, it's got this like, you're welcome for nailing these adjectives. It's got this like yellow peary thing going on to it in my mouth. And it is approximately 3 o'clock my time as I'm recording this. And yes, I am enjoying a glass of it. So. There's that.
Did you ever see that old Nick Cage and Meg Ryan movie, City of Angels?
Oh, yeah.
Great soundtrack.
My
BTW.
Yeah. My uncle took me to see it. But he lived in Seattle. And so as a young girl, I thought he was like
major
so
Seattle vibes.
Cool. You know, had all of the and like just 90s vibes, thick 90s vibes. Oh, in that one.
Thick. If you want to just slop around in some 90s vibes,
which
you know?
I do.
Yeah. It's from, you know, your Sarah McLachlan, like, yeah, get it, girl.
Mm-hmm.
But he asks her as an angel. He asks her to describe a pear.
I don't remember that part.
Do you remember that scene?
I haven't seen it since I was like 13.
You got to watch it again because just the description. I know how you love pears and I know you just got the mother load at the farm. So she's like trying to describe like Sandy. He's like, yeah, but I don't know what sand is.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah. So she has to describe this pair.
Yeah, I should probably.
Similar to when Meg Ryan has to describe wine in French Kiss.
That's a good one. I haven't
that
watched
is a that classic.
One a
if you're like
time.
A Francophile nerd romance. I hate to use the expression rom-com because I think that's overused. But French Kiss is.
It's a fun one. Well, you know what movie really I just watched the other day? Speaking of Meg Ryan. You've Got Mail, one of my all-time favorite
like
movies.
One.
I love that movie. I love it. And I listened to the soundtrack
but
for 3 days afterwards.
Third.
A third what?
Who's the soundtrack?
Oh.
It's like the third. So like she started with When Harry Met Sally, and then she did French Kiss, and then she did like Sleepless in Seattle. Actually, it was the fourth, and then it was You've Got Mail. Yeah. So it was like, hello, typecast,
well,
awkward.
Here's the problem. I was like three when all those other ones came out, and so You've Got Mail was like my prime time, and you were already past.
I'm serious. We need to record this crap because people need to see the rage on my face when you say that
I'm
kind of
stuff.
I'm just
saying, like when Harry Met Sally, that was like... That was just a little bit before I would have been watching movies like that, you know?
Well, me too. Hello. Thanks.
Well, I sat down. I watched You Got Mail. I was grinning ear to ear the entire time I watched it. I've probably watched that movie 300 times because it was like
Really?
Growing up, it was like one, you didn't have Netflix. You had like six VHS tapes and that's it.
So now you have me like all intrigued.
Watch it. It's so good. And then I've been singing the Cranberries and then I literally listened to the Cranberries for 2 days.
You texted me the other day about the Cranberries. I friggin' love the Cranberries.
I love the Cranberries. I know they're not like, everyone's cup of tea, but that 90s pop. No. Ha! Makes me so happy.
You're like, I don't know what you're saying, but I love it. I don't have a clue.
Oh, I love that part of the song that's in You've Got Mail. Which one? It's called Dreams. Oh, my dreams. That one, you know?
That's what I just said. I don't know what you're saying.
I love that chanting at the end. You know, like, it goes a little tribal.
Yeah, it's a little tribal at the end. Yes.
And it's like, just sing it. No holding back.
I'm going to cover the mic while I laugh really loud.
Oh, I'm hot. I'm sweating.
Where she gets all Celtic and you're like, yeah, girl, you get it.
Oh, this is going to be a rough patch of the podcast. I can see my little voice, like things going. Hi.
Stu's like, what the hell is going on here?
Oh, that's good. I love 90s music.
Yeah, but that is how I feel. The French Kiss soundtrack is so good.
Mm. I'll listen
and
to it tonight.
It's so good. So that movie came out. Excuse me. I'm going to promise not to blow my nose over the microphone. But that movie came out while Joel and I were dating. And he went to see it with a friend. And I was out of town. I was in Nashville and I came back. And he's like, I went to see French Kiss, you know, blah, blah. Well, what did you think of it? Oh, it was okay. And it was like the premiere. So he got me a pin with Meg Ryan and what's his butt on it. And I wore that pin on my winter coat. You know, I love accessories. So I rocked that pin like quirky for a decade.
Oh my gosh.
And it came out where once it came out on DVD, it was our favorite movie. Mm. I can recite the entire movie. It's like Gone with the Wind. I can recite the entire movie. Front to back. Every line is hysterical to me. The soundtrack is fantastic. I played the French version of Dream, A Little Dream for my friend Francoise. I was like, I love to sing. I really want to sing this song. Can you help me translate this into French? And she listened to it and she's like, that is not French. That's all she had to say. That is not French. I'm like, really? That's like the best you can do to help me with this song.
Oh, dang.
But like, that's, yeah. There are certain movies in this house where like the things we say, we don't even realize like Christmas Vacation. We don't even realize where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. And French Kiss is definitely one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've been watching
Stop the Rocking,
Arrested Development.
All of it.
Have you ever watched that show? Then we'll get on to the point, yeah. I promise. Okay, I think Arrested Development is very witty and very smart. And same thing.
Yes.
Stu and I first watched it, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. And we're rewatching it now. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's that running joke we've had for a decade. I remember now.
You don't even realize where it came from. It's like part of your vernacular. You don't even realize. Stop the rocking.
I know. We always have this. We've got this joke where like the guy in the $6,000 suit is going to and then whatever task somebody's asked us to do. So if I ask Stu like, hey, can you go get the chicken eggs? And he's just like, yeah, like the guy in the $6,000 suit is going to go get the chicken eggs. And I was like, we've been saying this for 10 years and I totally
you don't even
forgot.
Know.
This is where it comes from. He does not have a $6,000 suit, by the way, obviously.
BTW.
Oh, what are we talking about again? Can we just turn this into a 90s
Nick Cage
music?
Movie? Like, wait, what's the Nick Cage movie with the blonde chick where it's like a Christmas movie and he's used to wearing like $15,000 suits and then he has to get the made to order suit at the mall?
I am not a Nicolas Cage fan. I usually actually avoid his movies. Sorry.
Stop.
I don't.
See, Shay is not old enough to appreciate Nick Cage.
I don't really
think. When he was Nick Cage.
That.
No.
No.
Nope. No. This is where we part ways, Mrs. Elliott.
All right.
Okay.
See ya.
So we're going to pick up where we left off and we're going to talk about homeschooling.
On that note, Oh, I got the funniest message from Chelsea, your sister, today. When she was talking, she listened to the last episode we did on homeschooling. And she's like, when you said it's okay. just cinnamon when we were riffing on pumpkin spice, she said, I almost lost it.
I can just see her.
Ladies, if a pumpkin spice latte helps you get through the day, you have that pumpkin spice latte.
But here, Chelsea, she doesn't drink wine. She doesn't drink coffee. Yeah. I don't even think she drinks tea. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how she even survives life, quite frankly.
Oh, okay.
But we love you, Chelsea.
We do love you, Chelsea. Before we go into homeschooling, which we will get to, I promise.
We swear.
How... The theme of our season here on Homemaker Chic is we can do hard things.
You suck. I know what you're going to do.
I know I'm going to do it.
She's got 2 days of self-righteousness tucked under her belt, yo. She's about to play it.
Oh my gosh, you're so funny.
Hey, best friend, while you're having an allergy attack and you feel like you're on death's door, you know what I've been doing? I've been lifting weights for 2 days in a row.
I'm so sore. It hurts to laugh. My body is rejecting my body. It's like, nope.
Oh, do your abs hurt, Shay?
Oh, shove it. Yes, they hurt, Angela. Okay, ladies, for those of you who care, my hard thing I'm trying to do is work out, which I'm only able to do by...
to live.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm doing my, what's it called again? TRX machine.
TRX, you're welcome.
Yes, it's great. It takes up almost no space. I love the low impact on my old joints. Yours are older, so probably helps you even more. Fabulous.
Oh, my freaking goodness.
Every muscle in my body hurts. Every muscle. It's great. Even my derriere and the sides of my thighs, which is great. Okay, fine. Fine. Let's talk about something else. I did the hard thing for 2 days in a row.
Shay got... Woohoo!
You do it every day, so I'm allowed to say it.
No, I haven't actually done my TRX. I've been walking. So I'm walking. I walk down to the lake and I walk back. The back part is the tough part, I suppose, because it's uphill. And it never fails where I think I'm going to hit 5 days a week and I'm at 4.
Yeah.
So it's 17 miles a week.
That's a lot.
Yay. It is. It feels like a lot. That's by a lot. The time I get home. Mm-hmm. But Joel just got my TRX. I've had it from a couple years ago, but he finally put it on like the other side of the basement and I haven't done it yet, but he just put it up like last week. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was trying to show the kids how to do it yesterday and I was like doing flies like this.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that looks easy, Mom. My 15-year-old comes over and he's like, like, yeah. Boom.
No, it's
a little bit harder than you thought.
It is. What I love is how you're using your own body weight. I love that. And I love the security of like the fluid motion, especially from somebody who doesn't work out a ton. Like I don't have a lot of body confidence in what my body knows how to do and how to move. And it kind of almost forces you to
hold.
And
the TRX lets you know, we're done here.
Yeah.
Time to pull it back.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Big time. So I'm working up to like one of those crunchy thingies. Right now I'm just trying to do plank. Just like hold the plank, put your feet in the things and hold the plank. Just do that. And literally my stomach hurts so bad. It's okay though.
I have like my brain doesn't work when it comes to the like how to put your feet in. I used to always have to ask Dante like, like literally you have to come over here and show me like how do I put my feet in this thing again?
Yep.
It's awkward.
It is a little awkward.
And so we're doing all of this before.
Yeah, before
homeschool. Yep. I have to confess, I did play with my phone for a few minutes this morning during school. But everybody was being very self-sufficient. And that's when I posted the blue denim jumper bit on the homeschool or the Homemaker Chic podcast page. And
yes,
it was a few minutes of downtime.
Yep.
But then, boy, it got real, really fast.
How's week two going for you guys? Because week one, there's adrenaline and freshly sharpened pencils. What's week two?
Yeah. I think week two is a little bit more of a shock to les étudiants, quite frankly. I think the kids are like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like we actually have to do this till one or two? And we actually have to get out of bed and get the milking done and have our beds made. And like, oh, you weren't kidding.
Yeah.
I think so. They're doing really good, but I think they expect me to peter out at 11:45 and I'm not.
Yeah.
That's kind of the vibe I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And I'm not expressing that because I don't want to salt the conversation, if you will. But
yeah,
that's sort of what I'm feeling mm-hmm. from them.
Do your younger ones go that long too?
So my younger ones start at 9 and go till 12 or 1. And then the older ones are supposed to start earlier and go till 2 or whatever it takes. Because there's a lot of like stopping and talking to me, hashing things out, going back to the assignment.
Yep.
I have a student who needs to walk through actually at this moment. Yeah. Ami Lee, you can walk through if you need to. So,
well, so we mentioned to you guys last week that Georgia and Angela's Juliet are taking an online English class together. And I loved their first assignment when I got it in my inbox. It was like, hey, go read the first 7 chapters of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. And I was just like, you know, she'll be 10 next week. Juliet's 10, right? So,
mm-hmm.
I mm-hmm. loved it. It was like this massive reality check. Like, see, mom's not this like possessed demon that's just like, learn, learn, learn. Other teachers are like that too. 7 chapters of Mark Twain. That's no small thing.
Actually, yeah, Aiden's like reading these crazy, I mean, they're beautiful, but you know, maybe I'm used to reading The Valley of Vision.
Yes.
Aiden. Not so much reading it for himself. And so he's reading like Herbert or something like that. I think it's Herbert. These poems that are, you know, not the modern
tongue
language. Hello. Yep. And so again, like you said, it's just like, oh, well, it's not just my mom's harebrained mm-hmm. idea that we say thee and thou and art.
Yep.
And like, you mean this is actually out there somewhere and I have to learn to digest it and regurgitate it and put my own thoughts to it. And
mm-hmm. I love that.
I kind of like it.
I love it.
Because I think, I mean, I don't want to be a helicopter mom, but I feel like it's good for him to know, like, mom's a little bit hands off on this and there's 20 students in this class and I need to hold my own. And I know it's challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good.
That's the point.
Because it's not challenging. I think a lot of times the kids think, you know, today we're going to talk about our older students. And so I think a lot of times they think it's challenging for, are we talking about older or younger today? Where did we leave off?
I don't remember where we left off. I don't even remember what subjects we talked about. Isn't that terrible? I know we talked about math. We talked about English.
I think we were going to dive a little bit more into older kids.
Okay.
But I think he thinks maybe sometimes the older kids think it's challenging just, you know, to get mom's gun off.
Yeah.
Like, oh, mom loves Shakespeare, so she wants us to learn Shakespeare.
Yes.
Mom loves French, so she wants us to learn French and blah, blah, blah. You know, but like, no, actually,
mm-hmm.
other people are doing this.
Other people.
This is a thing. This is a real thing.
It's so true. We're definitely feeling the pinch of week two because it's mm-hmm. it's like working out. It's adjusting your body back to what we're doing here. And don't be surprised, my dear listeners, if you are met with weeping and gnashing of teeth. That doesn't mean you're doing something wrong or that your kids have some horrible major character flaw. It means they're, you know, 9 and 13 and 12 and 7 and we should expect that, you know. So it takes what's always surprising to me is how much discipline it takes, not for the child, but for the parent.
Maybe that's what we should talk about.
Seriously.
Shay.
It was a gorgeous 65 degree day here. I've got so much stuff to do outside. We've got to sell the cow. We've got to get the potatoes out of the ground before. Like, name it. And I'm like,
oh my gosh, the potatoes.
I want to go outside. I don't want to be in here. Not that I don't love it. Not that I don't love it, you guys, but it really is just the discipline of it. And I think we talked about this last time, but as I've been getting up early, because I get up at 5 to get my Bible reading time in, my workout time in, get ready, have time with Stuart. Every day when my alarm goes off, I'm like, all you have to do is put your feet on the ground. Just put your feet on the ground. That's all you have to do is sit up, put your feet on the ground. And that's like the hardest part of it. It is.
It's like that scene in the Titanic with this is terrible. Forgive me. The Irish mom with her two children. It'll all be over soon. Like, that's what I think of.
Tragic.
I know, but that's a family joke in our between Joel and I. Like every time it's hard to do something, mm-hmm. just get your feet on the ground. It'll all be over mm-hmm. soon. Mm-hmm. Just once you're there, then you're engaged.
Yep.
But it's just convincing your mind. Like, it's got to be like our kids. And we have to set a good example for the kids. Like,
oh, yeah.
Hey, guess what? If I could actually get out of bed and organize the whole day from 3 meals and 2 loads of laundry and 42,000 homeschool lessons. And hey, the pears are on the tree. Quick, pull the pears before they go rotten.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you just said potatoes and it like instilled panic in my body. Like, holy crap, I haven't looked at my potatoes in 2 weeks.
I know, I'm panicking. I am panicking a little bit right now. I mean, I know we talked in the last episode about how we had to let go of the gardener and how this is our job. And yes, that still holds true. We are leaving in like 2 weeks for a family vacation with Stuart's family in the South, who we never get to see. But it happens to fall on the week that basically our first frost comes. And so I'm like, quick, bring the lemon tree in, bring the bay tree in. Like, we got to get the potatoes out of the ground. And, you know, it's just, it's always this.
Oh my goodness. See, you just did it again. I just brought my lemon trees in last week, but my bay is still in the herb garden.
Crap. Sorry. So I think as we approach homeschooling, and if you guys aren't homeschooling parents, forgive us, but so many people, even if they're not homeschooling, they are homeschooling with their kid online. I mean, a distance learning is what is happening right now, it seems like, in most mm-hmm. places. And so even if you're not doing the lesson planning, even if you still have a teacher, you're still facilitating that for your child. And so we feel it a relevant enough topic to enough listeners to touch on again for this part two. But I think part of it maybe is getting the mindset right, sitting down with the right frame of mind, as it were. Are you going to be okay?
Mm-hmm. I am. Don't mind me. I'm not sneezing. I can breathe. It's all good. Carry on.
I wish you guys could see her face.
Shut
right
up.
Now.
Picking her nose. And
there's a really great quote by Elizabeth Elliot, who I love and adore. And it says, let me find it. Here we go. Focus your eyes, Shay. When you don't know what to do next, just do the thing in front of you. And that sounds so simplistic, but I think when you have an elephant to eat, sometimes all you can do is the next thing. And the next thing might just be putting your sheets in the dryer so you have clean sheets. It might be pulling out sausages so you have something to make for dinner. You know, it might just be just getting through the reading lesson with your 7-year-old. It's hard when you're homeschooling or when you just have a lot of children or there's a lot going on. The hard part is taking a step back and just getting perspective, because when you try to hold on to it too tight, that's when it feels like it's going to collapse and it's going to just explode at any moment. But I think keeping the broad picture, I think we talked about that last time, but keeping the broad picture is super helpful.
For those of us like that have like tried to lose weight after a baby, if you looked at it at the whole 9 months to a year or year and a half or however long it takes you scope, and you tried to digest all those meals and all those snacks and all that self-discipline in one moment, it would be extremely overwhelming. But if you just looked at it as the next time I take a walk, or the next time I choose to eat, it's more digestible. It's just like
piece
one,
by piece,
one thing at a time. And then after a year or a year and a half, everything has fallen into place.
Yes.
So I think we left off with talking about our bigger kids. Okay. So we've got
so let's
Georgia and yeah. Juliet mm-hmm. doing a class together. Mm-hmm. A pretty gnarly literature
pretty
class.
Hefty, I mean, literature class.
There's a lot of kids that don't try to chew up Tom Sawyer until ninth mm-hmm. grade.
You know? And I was going to tell you this. So I'm just going to tell you and act like we're having a phone conversation.
Okay,
my friend Jody, who recommended this class to me, said that when mm-hmm. her daughter Elsie was doing this class, you know, Mark Twain or even like Jane Austen, like those are, they're pretty substantial, you know, words to grasp in both of them. And so,
well, and especially Jane Austen, because she's saying things in a, I mean, Mark Twain, we're like, yeah, we've kind of seen that in movies, yeah. you know, by the time you're 10 or whatever.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah.
So what she recommended doing is, because, you know, all of Mark Twain's works are in the public domain, you can get them for free on Audible. And so to get Georgia sort of in the right mindset, I downloaded it on Audible and I let her listen to it, but she had to follow along in the book with her pencil. So she had yeah. to read it and listen to it at the same time. But Nick Offerman, who plays Ron Swanson on Parks and Rec, fabulous narrator. He narrates The Adventures of Tom Sawyer on Audible for free. Highly recommended. But it was really helpful. You know, Georgia's cool. nine. She's reading this. Like, so
yeah. I'm
trying to get help her to get a leg up. But there's so many great resources like that.
Yeah. Levervox, I think, is for those that listen yeah. to podcasts, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So Call of the Wild, like, you know, Little Women, all those what is the copyright? 1927? When did they bring the smackdown on that?
I don't recall.
I think it's like 1927 or something like that.
Yeah.
Anything like that is in the
yes.
public domain. But Levervox, like, they do it to put it out there for free. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Let's talk about, this is a funny subject because I think I know where you're going to go with it. But we've tried to get specific with people to make it as helpful as possible. So we covered, you know, the math curriculums okay. that we use, the English curriculums that we use. Let's talk about the science curriculum that we use.
Okay.
You go.
you go. Okay. So I've always been very... like my heart is, my emotions are enamored with the Charlotte Mason. Oh, just do a nature study and just take a journal out and I record what you see. And like, I've read all of that. Okay. I just need to confess to, if for those of you that can do that and you've wrapped your head around that, yay for you. But I am the type of person that in the final transition of labor, the first time I was in labor, I was like screaming, just tell me what to do. Like, I will breathe the way you say to breathe. I will push the way you say to push. Whatever you say to make this misery be over. Like, tell me what to do. So sometimes in the throes of it, I just want direction. And so I felt like when I was reading all the Charlotte Mason books and reading, listening to the Charlotte Mason podcast, I'm like, you know, this feels like very much like functioning in the arbitrary. I appreciate that we're supposed to go out and look at a mushroom and draw it and appreciate it. But then what? And so I did switch. The smaller kids are still doing that. We're still just walking outside and we're listening and observing and everything. But the bigger kids, I still wanted them to start doing the whole like invertebrates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, genus, species, what have you. So I switched them over to sunlight. And since the beginning of summer, we have misplaced a science book. So that is a point of contention, which I talked about last week. Mm. Like, I'm not going to look for your books. Mm-hmm. If you can't find one, you can just hustle and you can look until it's found. So we're still looking for a science book Jeez. From last year for the smaller kids. But they have labs. I do like sunlight because they have the labs. So mm-hmm. they get a little box and it has the radish seeds and the beaker and the tape. And the rubber cement or whatever it takes yeah. to do the things. and they have one lab a week. And it's Usborne, and there's still really good, rich books that are going along as far as the science. It's still not that, you know, what I don't care for is the read it, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
So that's what Juliet and Julian are doing.
What's that
and
called?
They are 9 and 10.
What's the
I don't know. It's whatever level I picked for them.
Okay.
But it's fun because it's very like Juliet is old enough to facilitate it. So they just sort of do it together.
Okay. I'm searching sunlight science curriculum because I want to try to give a name if it's possible, but I don't think I'll be able to.
Yeah, it's going to have like a letter. It's going to be like sunlight science D or something like that. So I can put it in the show notes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm pretty unfamiliar with this, but I can see what you're talking about here. So it's like a little package.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like I had the big like nature study book, like I had all the books that Ambleside recommended, but it was still too,
I know what you mean.
It was still too much up to me. I really just needed somebody to say, no, actually do this on Monday and do this on Tuesday.
Yep.
You know, that's what I needed. Yep. So
that's helpful.
Maybe that's being work at home mom. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like maybe if all I was doing was homeschooling, it would be one thing because I really do love the books. But my kids are very, like they're like nature nerds anyways. Mm-hmm. So they have like the Audubon field guides. Like that's their thing is to go out and look for salamanders and all that. So then I didn't really realize that Amelie wanted to do science this year. I was actually going to give Amelie a break off of science. So we just discovered that in the last few days that she's kind of miffed at me that she doesn't have a science curriculum. So I have to figure out what we're going to do. And I've got Aiden on chemistry.
Okay.
Which
that's like the subject every homeschool mom fears.
Oh yeah, I got nothing to do with it. Like bun chance, like sink or swim, you know, like you're good on you. I told him, I said, look it over. If it looks too tough, then we'll dial back to biology and we can wait a year. But
okay.
he has so much knowledge that he's obtained on his own without me. Like he talks, I'm like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm so proud of you. Fabulous.
Well, isn't that the point of homeschooling? Like you teach your children to be learners.
I don't need little mini Anges running around. I need them to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to know what you teach your children at some point because they're going to have the ability to learn, which means that they can take the skills that you've given them, like hard work and discipline and, you know, training and the ability to read. And they get to go apply that, which is exactly the point. I love that. I appreciate you saying that about science curriculum.
I come from
That's
like
helpful.
A weird science. Yeah, well, I come from and I, you know, I'm not a science person.
Yeah.
It's again like things we've talked about before. Like I didn't appreciate nature the way I do now. Mm-hmm. I didn't appreciate sports or physicality the way I do now. I remember being in between sophomore and junior year, and I had just moved to a new state, and you had to have like a meeting with a school counselor, and she sat me down and she's like, well, do you want to go to college? And I said, no. She's like, well, then you can be done with math and science. And I said, sweet.
Oh, interesting.
We're done here.
Wow.
So I've never taken anything past algebra, and I've never taken anything past like basic biology.
That's funny.
Because I knew I didn't want to do that. Yeah. I didn't really have like a lot of parental input at that point. But my feeling was, why would I go pay to take math and science? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go pay for that. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to go be an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. which is what I did. Mm-hmm. It's a very area where with my children's education, I'm trying to be involved and I'm trying to have at least a basic understanding of what they're doing. I don't need to know all the answers, but I want to have an understanding of what they're doing because I didn't really have that. It was just kind of this disconnect and like, oh, I can be done. Sweet. I'm done.
Yeah. Science was, I think that's a hard one for most homeschool families because I think on the whole, and obviously there are lots of exceptions, but on the whole, science tends to be a pretty difficult subject to chew on for a lot. People aren't really geared that way. You know, I majored in science, animal science, but I'm not, I couldn't teach my kids biology. Like, there's no way. Mm-hmm. I took biology in ninth grade, and I remember my biology teacher, and he was just like, Shay, you are like, you're running into the brick wall. Like, you're not getting it. You're just hitting that brick wall with your head. Like, you need to go over the wall. You need to just like open your brain and get over it. And I switched to animal science at that point. I went into natural sciences and natural resources and soils and, you know, animal reproduction and all these cool classes after that. I was like, this isn't lining up. And actually, chemistry almost kept me from getting my degree. That was the hardest class I took in college for me. No comprende at all. Still, no way. But I appreciate this. I'm looking at their packages now and they look really helpful. Like, I'll be honest with you, like science, especially for when they're little, like we're straight up Charlotte Mason, like our kids' nature journal every day. They go out, they look at the humidity, they look at the temperature, they write down what's going on in the sky, what's the sun doing? But our kids are like yours. They're outside all the time. They're constantly observing things. There's larvae. There's like jars of larvae and worms and spiders all over my house. It's disgusting and disturbing. And
it's gross.
Stuff constantly crawling. But I love that. I think fostering a love for nature in the early years is exactly the point. And I think that's what Charlotte Mason is getting at. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you are a part of this. You need to understand that it's not just big cats and elephants. It's ants and decomposers and funguses. And, you know, and I think it takes an observing eye to see those things.
Yeah.
But there also comes a point where, you know, science curriculum is helpful. So we always joke that Wildcrats is our science curriculum right now. Because it's just, you know, two good-natured guys just living free and in the wild and studying nature and loving animals. And it's been fun. But it's time.
See, my kids have never watched that. I know your kids have always watched that.
Wildcats. Yeah.
So we should check that out. See, like when Aiden was little, like we were like big Bear Grylls. Mm-hmm. We watched Bear Grylls like religiously. Mm-hmm. But rats. I was just going to say something and I don't remember.
Poop. If you guys do have older kids, though, too, there are some really good online tutorials for these kinds of things. Like, I think this keeps people from homeschooling because they think, I couldn't teach my kid chemistry. That doesn't mean you're not a qualified teacher. That means you're going to get creative. You're going to find the resources that they need. You're going to find the people that they need to come around them. And it might just be somebody in your community. We're actually doing that with a couple of families from our church where we're going to get together once a week or once every other week. And we're going to have different parents come in and teach on different subjects that they know about to just introduce this idea. And I love that. I love that we can't do it by ourselves. We're not meant to do it by ourselves. Let's talk about Fridays. Friday fun day, at least in our house. I know your older kids are schooling on Friday because they have a lot to do. And same with Georgia. She's got a lot of reading and writing to do on Fridays.
Yeah, it's sort of like our, they do current events reports during the week. They do, like this week they wrote, you know, they have to, like this week they did an essay on an opposing view. Okay. So take a subject that you're really passionate about, but like try to see it from your opponent's point of view, you know? And so
love that.
It's spelling and commas and grammar and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of they share their Google Docs with me during the week. And then by Friday it has to be all spiffed up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's perfect. That's a great way to end out the week. One of the things we really love to do on Fridays is play classical music. I know you're a classical music buff.
Yes.
I love classical music. If you ever need something to listen to and you have Apple Music, go find Yo-Yo Ma's cello album where he does Bach pieces. It's so beautiful. The cello is my very favorite instrument and Bach is my very favorite classical composer. And so it's just quite beautiful. But it's the day where I will blast classical music. And I love it because it's amazing to watch the kids see emotion. And I think it's easy, especially in our current culture, to be like, oh, that's old. Stop yawning. Stop that.
I'm sorry. I didn't sleep last night. I was sneezing all night. I slept on the frigging couch. I was like so bad.
Oh, I know you. I know that you're tired because typical Angela, when I bring up classical music, would be like, hold the phone. Hold on. We got stuff to talk about here. How do you guys do music? I know both of our kids take piano. So that's part of their music training, learning how to read music, learning the notes, learning keys, that kind of thing. How else do you guys handle music in your house?
We just try to foster a real love for it. So if I'm really rocking out to something or if there's something I really enjoy, I try to bring the kids into it.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to create like little nerds. So like most of my kids know who Ella Fitzgerald is. Yeah. And they know why she's the best, quite frankly. She is the best, you know? And so whatever I'm listening to, I try to bring them in and they know mom likes her music really loud and that annoys them. And that's okay. Cause then there's mom and her music again. Mm-hmm. I do think it's a little bit different when they were younger. Everything was easier when there was just a couple. I mean, it was just so much easier to brainwash them. Like, let's just be real. The indoctrination was much easier when there was just a few. But yeah, the children, they take FaceTime lessons with their teacher out of state. He's excellent. So that really takes from like 11 to 12:30 on Fridays. And there's a lot of piano playing going on around here. Mm-hmm. I actually wish they listened to it on their own a little bit more, but it's kind of that we're just in this weird phase where we don't have enough CD players and read any CD players because they all broke over the summer. And apparently CD players are impossible to find and still very not affordable if you need to buy more than one on Amazon. I mean, I would like for everybody to be listening to music, but I don't want them attached to a phone.
Right.
It's annoying. Have you fallen into that? Like, where you're just like, hey, remember when things were easy and you just popped in a CD and now I don't really want to hand my kid my phone and headphones and Bluetooth and brain cancer causing mojo. And like, it's a pain. Actually,
We get asked a lot about devices. So maybe we should talk about that real fast.
Probably.
This is a hard one because I think I think you have complete liberty to do what you want. So don't care what I say, but I will tell you what we do in our family. We have found with our children in our situation that devices, they don't do them well. They just don't do them well. It tends to turn them very sour, very selfish, and very introverted in not a good way. Just like, I'm going to go in by myself. I'm going to go into my little cave and be by myself and no one can be in my zone. And, you know, it's just not a good thing for us. So I do let Juliet use a very old phone and I downloaded a bunch of Beatrix Potter and amazing old fairy tale stories on Audible and I got her some special earphones, but that's simply to buy me time. Like, and it's enriching. So it's not a show. It's not like the having to mess with a tablet and click stuff and any of that. It's just sit here and play with your sand or watercolor, whatever, trace the things while you're listening to Beatrix Potter. So I think it's not the thing in and of themselves. It's the twaddle that we can fill them with that can make them really sour. Other than that, we allow Georgia the same phone where she can listen to audiobooks for a certain portion of time. So it's just like, you know, from 4 to 5 while I'm making dinner, you're allowed to veg out in your room with your cats and draw and listen to Harry Potter. Great. Go do that. But dang, like, there have to be some serious guardrails up. But other than that, there's no devices in our homeschool. I mean, except for when they are typing something on the computer or when they're on a Zoom, you know, like on their English class where they're meeting with their teacher. Other than that, there's no devices at all. That's it. Intentionally.
Okay. So Aiden has a phone because he's 15. It's supposed to be in his bedroom during school. It never is. It's like on the coffee table. I don't know why. If he thinks like somebody's going to text him, nobody's texting him. I don't, it's just a, like, could you just please put that in your room? Mine's not sitting here. So that's, you know, sort of a back and forth 15-year-old battle, but it's not in his pocket and he's not like using it during school. It's just kind of, I'm always teasing him. Like, can't you just leave that in your room? Amelie has a phone. It does not have cellular service. So it's just for listening to books or listening to music. So she can't make phone calls from it or whatever. And then we have my computer at my desk and we do have a Chromebook. So when everybody needs to disperse for math, you know, quite a bit of computers. We have four computers that are needed. So there's plenty of computers to go around, but there's not that like autonomy, like, hey, I can take this. We don't have any iPads or anything like that. There's no pads. There's no like tuck away with my thing and go do my thing.
Why? And why is that for you?
I just don't want it. I don't want to spend the money on it.
Yeah.
I just don't like them on the screen.
Do you find it ruins your,
even
like,
Aiden?
I don't know. It felt like when we were doing CC in a community, I had the CC app and it was like, okay, we'd pull it up and she'd be singing along. And I'm like, this is just ruining my mojo. Like, it ruins my vibe.
Well, see, I even fell into that today. So Juju was doing math and he had some multiplication problems. And I thought, rats. Like, I don't have the CC app on my phone. Should I put it on my phone? Should I?
I have it on my phone. I have it on my phone so that if I can't remember a history sentence, how she sings it, I'll pull it up on Monday. Yeah. We can sing it with her on Monday. And then the rest of the week we do it by ourselves.
Yeah, but I'm thinking like 2, 4, 6.
I know. 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18. 14. You
know, like, do I need to have that? Because I sure don't want to take the time to teach him his times tables. And
no, listen, this is going to be a little freebie you can stick in your pocket, listeners. If you have not taught your kids the CC classical conversations, what that means, classical conversations, skip counting, do it.
Yeah.
It's little songs. I think they changed them since we left CC and now they do them up to 15s. But we did them when I did it, we did it to 12. So you would count, you would skip count the twos up to 12. So you'd get to 24. That kind of thing. They're excellent. They're excellent. And the easiest way to teach multiplication at the time, they don't even understand what that is. Then when you go to teach them multiplication and you're like, hey, let's skip count our twos. And all of a sudden they know what 2 times 5 is. And oh, they're so good. I'm so thankful for those.
I was ironing today and Julian was doing math and he had 7 times 7 came up in one of his long, you know, it was like, I don't know, 47 times one or 47 times seven, you know? And I thought, like, dang it. I'm going to tell you 7 times 7 is 49 and you need to remember it.
I know.
That's the only way around it. And that's when I thought, dang, should I put the app on my phone? I used to have it on my phone a long time ago, but I don't want my pride. Okay. Homeschool moms. I hear you on your pride. My pride doesn't want to be like turning them over to an app all the time. The reality is I have 4 students who could stand to learn their times tables and like, that ain't happening. So
one of the things I love about CC is it is designed to be like for a homeschool family. And so, for example, I always try to teach to Georgia. I think of her as my student. She is the oldest. So it's like when we're doing the skip counting, I'm listening to the other kids and I'm making sure that they're engaged, but I'm looking at her mouth. Like, do you know the numbers that you're saying right now? Like, are you fully aware of what's happening? But what happens then is when you're doing that, it's good for her to practice her times tables. Juliet, you know, she'll get every like third or fourth number. And then by the end of the week, she's got them all.
Right.
And then like just by magic, by the osmosis of just being in the situation, she picks them up. And so there are subjects like that. The same goes for history. If you guys haven't checked out CC's history curriculum, do that. The story of us, we're doing U.S. history this year, is really great. The story of the world are fabulous audiobooks, and they're also printed ones with all kinds of activities you can do. I love story of the worlds. But they just pick it up. They pick it up. There are things that you can do to teach to all your students at the same time. And all of your students are going to take something different from them. But the idea is there is a time where we all belly up to the table together and we do skip counting together. We do history together. We do geography together. And I love that because that's not something you would get in a classroom setting. There wouldn't be 4-year-olds and 9-year-olds in the same class.
Yeah, no, it's very one room schoolhouse. You know, I just had this flashback of when I first started homeschooling. I used, there's a YouTube channel called Have Fun Learning. And I freaking love this channel.
It has like, heard of it.
It just stumbled up on it as a new homeschooler. And it was like every letter, A, I have an aunt, you know, it was like all these like fun little songs. And then you would make the shape in the air and super fun. So it does like every phonics, the whole alphabet. And then it has really great songs, like one's called like I Am Responsible or something. Mm-hmm. I am responsible. You can depend on me. You can count on me to do the right thing. You know, it's like,
oh, that's
it was just, but it's just kind of that thing where they listen to it when they're young. And then when you say, you know, when they're 7, I need you to be responsible. I need to be able to count on you. Mm-hmm. I need to be able to depend on you. You know, then they're hearkening back to that. I just, sorry.
No, there's a power. There's
learning. It's a great YouTube channel.
There's a reason things are put to song. I mean, I remember watching Sesame Street as a kid, and they did this big thing on how peligro means danger in Spanish. And I was just like, I don't know what that means. Like, I shouldn't know what danger means is my point. And it's like translates to in Spanish. Do you know what I'm trying to say? But I remember it because of the stupid Sesame Street song.
So the next time we have a wine named Peligro.
Yeah, exactly. It was funny. We had this visitor at church the other day and he came up to me afterwards and he was not from. We go to a very traditional church where we sing the Psalms and we sing hymns. And he came up to me afterwards and he's like, your music sucks. And that's what he said. And I was just like, welcome.
Did he really say that?
And I said, well, you know what? I didn't grow up singing the Psalms and hymns. But what I love is that when you sing them, especially over the course of time, you memorize them. This magic thing happens when stuff is set to music. It sticks in your brain. And so even now as I read the Psalms, I'm like, I almost can't read them because I'm singing them in my brain, you know, because I've been singing them for a long time now. And there is great power. That's why Psalms is it's a singing book. It's a book of songs. It's like, hey, write this word on your heart. Sing it, sing it, sing it. And it's going to stick in there like a cranberry song from the 90s. Won't ever go anywhere. I don't know if
only 2 octaves.
I don't
higher.
Know if we near, crossed all the near, T's and near, dotted all near. The I's for you listeners, but there it is.
There it is.
There
You're
it
welcome.
Is. Another hour of nonsense for you. Oh man, I don't even know that we covered all the things. I still don't think we covered.
No, we didn't.
Art, his,
that's
I don't know.
Fine.
We'll just keep talking about it. What have you? And
it's totally fine.
Next week we have a special guest.
Woo-hoo.
So stay tuned for that. I'm not going to announce it until we know the exact date that she's going to be able to record with us, but I'm very excited about this. And I think you guys are going to be excited too. It's going to be fabulous. Owen's whispering my ear.
Okay.
Who is it?
Who is it? Tell me. Tomorrow is Ultra Feminine Friday.
Is it? Oh my gosh, this week went fast.
It's like a vacuum, Shay. It's going to be Thanksgiving before we know
it. And ladies,
it.
I'm sorry for not posting all your Ultra Feminine Friday posts on Friday. I think I posted them on Sunday. Super sorry about that.
Well, you know.
Super sorry. I will be more on top of it tomorrow.
Ultra Feminine, I'm doing my best day.
Oh, I did try today. Do you notice my new top? It's a secondhand top from Poshmark.
I see those.
I got some new little...
Is that velvet?
Tortoise hair. Tortoise, not tortoise hair.
Tortoise hair, tortoise shell.
Tortoise shell hoops that I got rocking here. My jeans that are a size too small. Shell, Ooh, what's that? Little brooch kind of a thing?
This is like my tortoise shell necklace? Cameo.
Oh, that's pretty. I love that. Well, let's share our outfits tomorrow. We'll make sure to share our outfits tomorrow for Ultra Feminine Friday. And do share yours with us as well. If you're not following us over on Instagram at Homemaker Chic Podcast, make sure you do that because you have no idea what we're talking about. Every Friday over on Instagram, we host Ultra Feminine Friday, which is just an opportunity for you to show us what feminine looks like for you. Maybe you're cleaning out chicken coops or mucking stalls or gardening or cooking or wearing your Sunday best. But show us. Show us what Ultra Feminine Friday looks like for you and make sure to use the hashtag so that we can find you and share your picture with all of our listeners over there.
And visit homemakerchicpodcast.com so you can get the coupon codes for American Blossom Linens and all of our other fabulous advertisers. You don't have to remember them. You can just visit homemakerchicpodcast.com and we have links to all our advertisers and all the coupon codes are right there for you.
Are you going to be okay? Will you be back here Monday? I hope.
I'll be back.
Okay.
Like, bring on the holidays, because that's about when they die down.
That's a long
Angela's
time.
Mystery allergy. It is. Stinks.
We're going to have to put you on that Discovery Channel show where it's like a mystery disease that they just put out to the world wide web. And they're like, internet world, what is this? We can't solve it.
No, no. I can't take one more opinion, please. There's no mold. There's no nothing. Please don't. I'll just suffer.
Do you want me to give out your email address right now so everyone can email
No. their suggestions? Please don't.
All right, ladies. Thanks for being here with us. We hope that somehow this edifies and encourages you in your homeschooling journey, whatever that looks like for you. And we'll see you Monday.
You're welcome.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.